Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think any time a tail ender hangs around with a batsman in that sort of situation, it can drag on. We've been in that position many a times as in the fielding side of things. So we know as a bowling group and even a batting group, they're sort of ready to go, but it just keeps dragging and dragging. So I think it's no different for any team in that position.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menners, and I'm here to wrap up day two of the first test versus New Zealand. Australia's in Wellington. And do I have a special guest for you? For old-time listeners of this podcast, I'm bringing back one of the original panelists, one of the people that joined the show in its most embryonic stage. I'm talking about aptly for this wrap-up, Kiwi Bob. Kiwi Bob, welcome back to the podcast after a long absence.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for having me. Menners, it's my absolute pleasure to attend. I wish it could be under slightly more positive circumstances from my side, but I'm sure the Aussie listeners will be very happy with how day two went in the test match. And yeah, looking forward to get into it. It was a long time since I've been on the show. My very first episode was when, if you remember, there was a bit of controversy with Glenn McGrath doing a bit of poaching in Africa. So that was a very long time ago. But obviously a lot's happened in the cricket world since then, and a very, very big day today as well. So I also remember,
I think, gloating when Australia beat New Zealand in the 2015 World Cup final. So I think, you know, that's how long you've been coming on the show. And I'm here to gloat again because Australia have had an absolutely dominant day in Wellington. They have pulled New Zealand's pants down. It has been ultra embarrassing for the Kiwis. New Zealand started the day 9 for 279. They went on to make 383, a 116-run last wicket partnership between Hazelwood and Cameron Green. Cameron Green finished 174 not out. So if that wasn't bad enough, then at New Zealand slumped to 5 for 29. They limped to 179. Nathan Lyon taking 4 for 43. Josh Hazelwood 2 for 55. So they gave up a 204-run deficit, and Australia did not enforce the follow-on. I think that deficit will be the decisive difference in the game, and I don't think I'm Einstein in thinking that. And then Australia did lose a couple of wickets before stumps. Australia 2 for 13, Smith and Marnus Labuschagne back in the pavilion, but that lead is already 217. Bob, what a humiliating day for New Zealand cricket.
Yeah, I think that the New Zealand team would have arrived at the ground this morning fairly confident and fairly optimistic. I think you summed it up well with yesterday's day one report, where you said it was kind of an even day. It did ebb and flow, whereas today was a one-way slide all the way right from ball one, I think. I don't know what the plan was from the Kiwis early on. You know, they had a new ball. I think it was three or four overs old. And they're bowling at the tail with one wicket to get. And we had guys on the boundary. We had really inconsistent lengths. And I just thought, you know, with a tail ender at the crease, you pitch it up, you throw a couple of slips in and let the pitch do the work for you. So yeah, I was really, really surprised by that. But, you know, in saying that, hat tip to Hazelwood, of course. I think he batted really, really well supporting Cameron Green. And I think Green really showed a maturity beyond his years this morning as well, didn't he? He was very, very patient. He waited for the ball. And when he got the ball he was looking for, he knew exactly where he was going to hit it. I think he manipulated the field perfectly. And, you know, the Kiwis really didn't have any answers. And I think we'll talk a bit later on with the effect of Nathan Lyon. I think potentially paying the price for not including a specialist spinner this morning, Menas.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because maybe that would have made a difference. I mean, I thought Cameron Green really manipulated the strike well. And you say Hazelwood batted well. He ended up making 22 off 62 deliveries. So, you know, I thought, well, they batted through the first hour and they brought up a 50 partnership of 62 balls. And when New Zealand didn't take a wicket in the first hour, I was like, okay, this is not good. But then it just got worse and worse. They brought up a 100 partnership of 133 balls. And Green was just picking his spots. He was holding the strike, maybe playing three or four balls, and then he was trying to find the boundary. He was trying to get back on strike. And I don't think this is just a New Zealand problem, but I think Australia haven't bowled well to the tail recently. And yet there probably is too much focus on trying to get the number 11 out. Like, as you said, they've got a new ball. Just play good cricket. Bowl a good length to Green and Hazelwood. Don't muck about with the bouncer and all the boundary riders. And just play normal cricket and you'll probably get the wicket. And it just really got away from them, obviously. You know, I have such fond memories of when McGrath and Jason Gillespie, I think, put on 114 against the Kiwis many years ago in another embarrassing last wicket stand for New Zealand. And this one didn't quite have the same joy because you had Green out there who's a batter. But, you know, it certainly just drove the nail into the coffin for New Zealand because they'd stayed with Australia a lot yesterday. You know, they had Australia 4 for 89, and really they're thinking, how good are we doing? You know, 4 for 89, 5 for 156, 6 for 176, and then Australia make it to 383. And at one stage it looked like Hazelwood and Green were going to bat to lunch, but Hazelwood just before lunch popped one to mid off, sort of driving one, and he was out for 22. That ended the partnership at 116. They made 383. Green finished 174 off 275 balls, his highest score in tests, his third highest in first-class cricket. And for the Aussies, that was their highest ever last wicket stand against the Kiwis, 116, third highest in New Zealand and fourth highest by an Australian pair. And, yeah, just such a dominant session for Australia there. And did you sort of foreshadow what was to come? Because I was thinking, God, if Hazelwood and Green are batting this well, maybe Williamson and a few of the Kiwis will dig in and make a game of it.
Yeah, I think it's something that hasn't really been talked about a lot, but the reason I think New Zealand elected to bowl first was because this pitch actually does get better to bat on. We've seen a lot of big third and fourth inning scores at Wellington at the beautiful Basin Reserve. It's the place where Brendan McCullum brought up his triple hundred quite famously against India a few years ago. Mm. So, you know, I was thinking that, you know, we get this last wicket and then we can settle in and probably make the best of batting conditions today. But, yeah, unfortunately not to be. And I do really wonder about the plan. I thought one of the standout, I think, pieces on the scorecard was the sundries. It was the second highest scorer for Australia was actually the extras. I think it was 41 and included 21, 20 12 wides.
Yeah, 6 leg byes, 20 wides, 3 no balls. Willow Rourke was the culprit for a few of those. But go on.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to, I think, so he's the enforcer, if you like. He's probably the tallest of the Kiwi bowlers. And he's been brought in, I think, with a big rap on his name. And obviously took 9 wickets in his debut against South Africa recently. So probably feeling very encouraged, maybe got a little bit excited. But, yeah, he was spraying them all over the place. I think Tom Blundell did a really good job behind the stumps, actually. So it's not really fair on him to look at those sort of 20 wides and point the finger at the keeper. Yeah, so I think O'Rourke definitely was responsible for a few of them. But I think you're right. I think it really upset the psychological or the psychology of the Kiwis. And I think they were not expecting to spend that long in the field. And as it went on and on, it really rattled them. And we saw that when they came out to bat after lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. I should mention Matt Henry ended up with 5 for 70. He took that last wicket and he bowled superbly. And Cameron Green, I just want to say what I loved about that innings was the way he went through the gears. He built it was, yep. it was a classic test innings. And I don't mean to sound like an old curmudgeon, but a lot of these young players, they think you just got to go out there and take it to the bowlers, and if it doesn't work, well, bad luck, try again the next day. But you can dig in like he did and play yourself in and get used to the conditions and then accelerate and take advantage of that later on as your innings progresses. So I just like the way he did that. But I also like the fact that it was, as you say, I mean, the second top score was Sundry. So, he was the dominant force in this innings. I mean, he stood up. He was the one that has carried Australia to that 383. And no one else really made a significant contribution apart from, Mitch Marsh, 40, was the second top mm-hmm. batter. So, it really is just a milestone moment for Green, not just to show that he can do it at test level, but he can be this sort of alpha male dominant yep. sort of batter and, control the test match. And, we've seen how good he can be. Fantastic innings. But then after lunch, it was a horror show for the Kiwis. Latham bowled by Stark off 5, score was 1 for 12. It was just timid in defence. The ball came back at him and it just went on to the stumps. But then 2 balls later, the wheels absolutely fell off because Kane Williamson was run out for a duck trying to get off the mark. He defended the ball to sort of mid-off, took off for a run, was watching the ball, ran into Will Young, then ran into Stark, and then was run out. And, Bob, it was a calamity. I mean, you sort of look at three things happened today that just sum up the day. That last wicket partnership, then this run out, and then at the end of the day, the drop catch, which we'll get to. I mean, it was just a bit of a joke. And Kane Williamson should be watching the other batter. I mean, that is a schoolboy error.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? The New Zealand team have shown such remarkable sort of mental fortitude over the last few years, really, to become number one in the World Test Championship. Mm. But Australia made them look like schoolboys today. I think you nailed it with the intent there with Kane. I think he was trying to get off the mark. I think he was trying to show some positive intent. And so at first I thought, was there even a run there? But there probably was, but it was touch and go. Very, very sharp fielding. I think it was Marnus, wasn't it? Really sharp fielding.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But this is really basic stuff. I haven't played cricket to a particularly high level, but even at the level I was playing at, we would talk about, make sure you slide your bat when you reach your ground. Make sure you don't run into your batting partner when you're running between the wickets.
Exactly.
That was just absolutely horrible. And I think 5 million Kiwis, just our hearts just dropped, I think, at that moment. I think, if we want to push Australia close in this match, we really need a performance from our main man, Kane Williamson. And that really piled the pressure on the other batters. And I think we just saw a bit of mental frailty. I think definitely we seemed a bit scrambled because that wasn't even the end of it. There was another dismissal only a couple of balls after that as well, wasn't there? So just horrible from the top order this morning.
Oh, yes. So 3 balls later, Ratchan Ravindra just smashed one to point off Hazelwood for a duck. He's another one that had come into this series in terrific form. So at that stage, the Kiwis had lost 3 wickets in 5 balls, 2 wickets to the bowlers, 1 run out. They're 3 for 12, and this is just nightmare stuff. Then at 4 for 29, Mitchell edges one off Cummins to Carey. He just sort of poked the one outside off stump, so 4 for 29. So that was the last ball of the Cummins over, and then first ball of the next over, Will Young was strangled down the leg side, just nurdled one off Mitch Marsh, and the Kiwis were 5 for 29 in reply to 383, having had a pretty even day on the first day. Australia just streaked ahead. And I've mentioned this in the lead up. I mean, there's something there now. Like the Kiwis just choke against Australia. There's something, and I don't get it, because you perform well against, say, England and other teams. Like it's not like it's an Australian problem. Like there's, you know, our team has such an aura that, I don't know, it's like charms the Kiwi team. It's like, I don't know what it does. Puts a spell on them.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those ones that's hard to really explain, isn't it? You know, New Zealand's beaten Australia once in 30 years in a test match. Once in 30 years. That was in Hobart in 2011. But the last time we won a series was in 1986 when we had Sir Richard Hadlee at his pomps. So since 1986, we haven't beaten you guys in a series, and we've only beaten you in one test match since then. So, you know, it's not a good record. And as you say, we can perform against everybody else. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that Australia, you know, you're just a very ruthless side. You know, we look at this bowling attack. I think they get a lot of credit, but I still don't think they get the credit they deserve. It's actually a fantastic lineup. And when you throw Lyon in there as well with the quicks, I think you've got four in the top 11 in the world going around at the moment. So, and I mean, you can have a tough morning. So let's say the first session doesn't go well, you're in the field, but then you come out to bat and you just need to get one or two loose balls. You just need to get something going your way. You know, you just need something out of the middle and then you're on your way. But there was just no respite from the Aussie quicks. And I think for as much as we want to bash the Kiwi batters, I think it's worth praising the Australian quick bowlers. I think Stark was really like on the money from ball one. I think he was actually finding some movement. And Hazelwood was getting a quite surprising bounce. So I think it surprised the Kiwi batters. Will Young in particular was hit a couple of times. He was hit, I think his first ball from Hazelwood, he was hit on the hand. And I think he was coming forward to try and sort of smother any potential movement or get to the ball before it moved. And it was just spitting up at him off a length. So, yeah, full credit to the Aussie bowlers. And that probably plays just as much a part as probably the mental frailty of the Kiwis, because we just didn't get any bad balls, you know?
No. And reports are that the pitch is actually a little bit more difficult to bat today than it was yesterday, because it's hardened up and some of the divots have hardened up. So there's a bit there if you can – there's a bit of grip there if you can get the ball in the right spot. And at 5 for 29, we did see a little fight back. So Blundell and Phillips batted together, and they put on 84. And Glenn Phillips, I mean, it was a perfect situation for him to come and play a counter-attacking innings, and it was a class one. He made 71 off 70 and hit 13 boundaries and ended up – that's his first half century in Test cricket in New Zealand. So, you know, they put on 84, and, you know, it was a semi-fight back, not enough. And at 5 for 113, Lyon gets Blundell, just sort of coming down the wicket inside edge onto a sort of thigh pad caught by Travis Head in that silly mid on. And that to me just showed Lyon's bounce. You know, he gets such good top spin on the ball. It just got too big on Blundell. He couldn't control it. And real credit goes to Lyon there. That was classic Lyon dismissal. And then Kugelhoorn played a shocking shot. He's had a bad test match. Two balls in, just smacked one into the outfield. So he was out for a duck. And at this stage, New Zealand 7 for 113. Next to go was Glenn Phillips at 8 for 161. He was out hooking off Hazelwood. Good catch by Stark. But I thought a good innings from Phillips. I mean, he did resurrect it and add some pride to the scoreboard, along with Matt Henry, who made 42, coming in late and hitting four big sixes.
Yeah, I think it's a tough situation. You want GP, you want him coming in when we've taken the shine off the new ball. I think he should not be in that early. But yeah, I think he and Daryl Mitchell did a fairly effective counter attack, wasn't it? They played a few shots. I think they moved the scoreboard along, which we were in danger there of just sort of going nowhere and just losing wickets. And so it was really good, I think, to get the scoreboard moving along. But then, as you say, Nathan Lyon with his bounce, and he was ripping it a long way. But, you know, Phillips and Mitchell, I think, both sort of took a liking to Lyon. It seemed like their plan was to try and upset him and knock him out of the attack. But sorry, Blundell.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
And then Matt Henry took a liking to him.
Well, Yes. Well, he got away with quite a few agricultural sort of slogs across the line, didn't he? There were a couple of cricket shots in there, but yeah, it didn't seem particularly textbook, most of it.
Yeah, but it was, Matt, so, you know, after being 5 for 29, he had Blundell's 33, Phillips 71, then Matt Henry 42 off just 34 deliveries, 3 fours, 4 sixes. Yep. He was the last player out. So Lyon got the figures, 4 for 43, Hazelwood got 2 for 55, then Stark, Cummins and Marsh took 1 wicket each. But what's staggering is New Zealand only batted for 43.1 overs. I mean, that's not just bad as a batting unit, but it's bad for the Kiwi bowling attack because they were back out there to bowl for half an hour, 35 minutes before stumps and with no recovery time. And that's really going to, I think, affect them sort of into day three if Australia can keep them out in the field for a couple of hours.
Well, that's exactly it. So, you know, we can talk all the baseball we like, but ultimately this is a 5-day game, Test cricket, and, you know, the old school method still works. Take your time, tire out the bowlers, take the shine off the ball, bring them back for their third and fourth spells, and that's when you cash in. Unfortunately, yeah, the Kiwis are back out there bowling at the end of day two after a day and a half's bowling already. So it was very quick, wasn't it? 43 overs.
Do you think Australia should have been forced to follow on? Do you think Australia should have been forced to follow on? Because they were 204 behind. So, you know, Australia could have been bowling in that last 40 minutes rather than the Kiwis with a new ball.
Yeah, it was a very testing period as well, wasn't it, with the light fading and the new ball. Mm. It's an interesting one. Australia aren't really known for ever enforcing the follow-on. They do it very, very rarely. But if there's somewhere you might think about it, it might be here at the Basin Reserve because, as I say, it does get better for batting as the test goes on. But I think there's forecast rain for day five, and that might have been in the back of their minds, and they might be thinking, hey, let's get some runs on the board and wrap it up inside maybe three. Hopefully we can push it to day four or five. But I think they probably just want to ram the nail home before we head to the second test. So it's a big psychological boost for them, I think.
Well, I think Australia's two things. They've been scarred by the fact when Steve Waugh enforced the follow-on in India in 2001, and that's sort of taken follow-ons out of Australian cricket. And also, I think when you've got a fast-bowling skipper, they tend to lean on the side of, let's put the feet up and have a rest before we have another spell. Look, I don't think it's the worst idea. If Australia can score quickly on day three and get a big lead, then they'll be bowling again. But there was an exciting little session to close play. Steve Smith was out for a third ball duck bowled by Southee, just chopping one on. It was his 10th test duck. So Australia was one for none. And then in the fifth over, Marnus was out, caught by the keeper, just a little nick off Southee for two. So that had Australia 2 for 4. And then Lyon came out as the night watchman and he was 6 not out, Australia 2 for 13. But Marnus's average is dipped below 50 now. But Australia have a huge lead, 217 runs with 8 wickets in hand. But off the very last ball of the day, Matt Henry bowling to Nathan Lyon, edged it to the skipper Southee at third slipped, who dropped an absolute sitter. So that disappointing end to the Kiwi day, and it really just summed up this whole test match for them, just slipped through Southee's fingers.
Yeah, I'd love to say the game's well poised heading into day three with Australia effectively 217 for two, but yeah, there's got to be some scars. I think they'll be thinking about that one overnight. I don't know how much sleep some of the Kiwi batters will get, but hopefully they can find a way to rest and relax and come out refocused tomorrow. I think.
If you say the batting conditions are better, their best case scenario is come out tomorrow morning, bowl Australia out, and maybe chase around 300, 340. And keep themselves in the game, you know, because, you know, once it gets above 350, it's going to be very difficult to chase with Lyon, next to impossible.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that has to be the mindset, right? It has to be. You've got to stay positive. You've got to think that they can get the rest of these Aussie batters, that they did very well getting rid of Smith and Marnus, two big wickets early on. Almost got the goat last ball of the day, as you say. And I think maybe Lyon was thinking he's done his job. whether he'd made it through to the last ball.
He had.
if he had been dismissed, he'd still done his job. So terrific effort from him. He's actually quite an underrated night watchman in world cricket. He seems to always do a job for the team. But no, you're right. I think, you know, a lot really rests on how the Kiwis come out tomorrow morning. You know, we need to see them with some serious plans. I don't want to see guys out on the rope 5 minutes into the morning's play. Now, we really have to be aggressive, and we've got to look at taking wickets. I think that's going to be the key, because there's plenty of time left in the game. And as you say, you know, anything sort of 350-ish, there's potential there. And hopefully Kane doesn't run himself out again in any silly fashion. It's actually the first time Kane's been run out in Test cricket since 2012. So he's not known for being problematic between the wickets. He's actually generally really good. But I think it just speaks to, you know, what we were talking about, the psychological edge the Australians have. And so we've just got to put that behind us and, play some proper Test cricket tomorrow, Menas.
Well, Bob, thank you for joining me to wrap up day two of this Test match. It was a painful day for you to have to wrap it up, but an enjoyable day's cricket. You know, a lot of action. You know, 13 wickets fell, but Australia end the day 217 runs in front with 8 wickets in hand. Bob, thanks for joining me on Cricket Unfiltered. It's been great to catch up. Hopefully I can talk to you again during the series. Are you going to be going to the second test in Christchurch?
Yeah, so I'm lucky enough. I've done my stint in Australia and I've moved back to New Zealand now. I'm not too far from Christchurch, so I'll be heading to the second test. And hopefully it's still all to play for by the time I get there.
Well, it will be. Even if we win, you know, it still could be a very unsatisfying one-all series at the end. But that's the curse of a two-test match series. But, Bob, thanks for joining me. Take care, listeners. You've been listening to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast, and we'll be back after day three.
This is a Piccolo podcast production.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.